Well, it's June 4th, 2014. I'm in the port of Skyros in the town of Lunaria. It's one of the northwestern Spiratis Islands. It's the one that's the farthest away from the other group of Spiratis Islands in this area. It's the first port you would come to from Psara. So this year I started out in Bodrum, worked my way up the Turkish coast, went to Kushadasi. Actually, I did not go to Kushadasi this year. Then, but I did go to, a little anchorage between Kushadasi and Chesme. Chesme, man, that port has changed since the last time I went there. They've done a massive real estate development in the town of Chesme. The whole port has been built up. It's run by a British company, I think, Sparks and Nichols, or Nichols and Sparks. Extremely expensive. Massive tourist trap. The town still has a lot of charm, but the port is just a massive, big, full-price, full-service port. And although I enjoyed the port, I missed the old sleepy town that I went to the first time I went there. It's no longer a sleepy town in Turkey. It is a massive, overdeveloped, over real estated port. We arrived on a Sunday, and a lot of Turks were out walking around. Not a lot of American tourists that I saw, or British tourists, or other than Turk tourists. It seemed to be families with their children out wandering around, walking around, stopping in the cafes, having coffee. Well, Turkey has really taken off. Turkey is printing money and spending it like crazy on its real estate sector, on its tourism sector. Bodrum's changed a lot since just in 1 year. Bodrum has changed a lot as well. Projects that were in construction last year when I was there are fully completed. And that got me to thinking about the future of Turkey. The best thing that Turks have done has not been to join the EU. If they had joined the EU, there's no possible way that they could have expanded their money supply like they have. Turkey has basically been kowtowing to the real estate developers, loaning money for real estate projects that may or may not make sense. Probably most of them don't make sense, because most of the real estate projects I saw along the coast are pretty much empty. But nonetheless, just like China pumping money into infrastructure creates growth and creates prosperity, Turkey doing the same thing is creating this illusion of growth and prosperity, and they may pull it off. In my business, I always have to look at these things. This is what I do for a living. So I got to thinking about America and its great growth period right after World War II with the baby boom generation. And what caused America to grow was the baby boomers, who needed to borrow money for cars and houses and appliances and furniture. And that creation of the money created the work that created the growth in the GDP. And now America is an older aged economy. We don't see the growth that we had in the baby boom generation because there's not the demand. I don't need another car. I don't need another house. I don't need another refrigerator. And there's not that many young people in America that can afford it. They're coming out of school with $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $100,000 in debt. They can't buy houses. They're busy paying off their debt. So Turkey, to me, could be, even though I don't agree with what they're doing, it could be an opportunity, an investment opportunity in their stock market. Now, I wouldn't be going buying the real estate unless I really wanted to live in Turkey. But that doesn't mean some people won't make money at it. So what I'm seeing in Turkey is just massive, massive real estate development, which is infrastructure development. They're putting new roads in as well. I like the Turks. If they were in the EU, there's no way they would be able to print out the money to be able to do this and fund their banks like this. So best thing for Turkey, in my opinion, is to stay the hell out of the EU. Now, that being said, when I left last year, a dollar bought about one, a little more than one Turkish lira. When I got over here, it was $1 bought 2.08 Turkish lira. And I just checked yesterday, and $1 buys 2.12 Turkish lira. So there's a cost. They're devaluing their currency, but at least they're in the driver's seat. My guess is next year I'll come back and $1 will probably buy 4 Turkish lira. So I will not leave Turkey with any Turkish lira in my pocket. I will be sure to get rid of all the Turkish lira. All right, so my little comment on the Turkish economy. Greece, on the other hand, this is the only port that I've seen in Greece where they've really tried to improve it. This port that I'm at is the only port I've ever been in Greece, which is a public port, not a private marina, where they put in free electricity, free water. They have showers and they have toilets. They have laid moorings, which I don't like, but in a storm I do like laid moorings. And when I go and pay my bill, it's about €6.51 per day. Pretty damn reasonable. We rented a car. We drove around the island. You can do that in about an hour and a half. It's a pretty island. There's not a lot of tourism here. There is a little village, a couple little villages, where it seems to be catering to the Europeans to buy summer homes or vacation homes. They've got some nice beaches around this island. It's about 38 miles from this island to the next island, so it's quite a trek to get to the other islands. I've been here twice now. We came up here when we sailed up from Pisara and spent a night here, and then we sailed over to Skopelos and Alinara. We rented a car in Skopelos and drove around the island and tried to drive through a little kora way up in the hills. The road that we drove up on went into the village, and the road got narrower and narrower and narrower, and obviously we weren't supposed to be driving in there. We ended up having to back out, and it was quite nerve-wracking backing out of this. You could not open your doors on either side of the car because it had become so narrow that it was impossible to get out of the car. So we backed down and then drove back. Luckily, we didn't put any scratches on the rental car. So right now I'm in port waiting for my next crew to arrive. And the plans are that I will go visit the other islands and spend some time, and then work my way back to Kushadasi this year, where I'll probably leave my boat. Now, Kushadasi is a lot more expensive than where I've left the boat at the last couple years, but the reason I wanted to leave it at Kushadasi is I do intend to come back to these islands again. I like the islands. They're not very well touristed. They're not very heavily touristed from a sailor point of view. Now, Sunsail does have a yacht charter base over on the mainland fairly close to the islands. Hopefully they don't expand it too much. I have seen 5 or 6 charter yachts, but not anywhere near the number of charter yachts that I see down in the Kyklades or the Ionian Islands. But we did a direct route. We went from Chesme to Chios, Chios to Ioannousis, Ioannousis to Cardamyla or Malmo, which is on the north coast of Chios. Spent a couple nights in Cardamyla. Took a long run. I think it was about a 65-66 mile run from Cardamyla over to Pisara, and then about another 60 mile run from Pisara up to Skyros. So we had a couple long days there. Fortunately, my timing this year on the weather was pretty good. I left early May, and of course the first week in May I spent some time visiting Denmark and Sweden, just some land-based travel. I was able to visit the town in Denmark where my great-grandfather came from, and my friend Kevin visited a town in Sweden where his ancestors came from. I'm not sure I could ever live in Scandinavia. It's flat. Quite honestly, it seemed pretty boring to me. We were in a town, a college town, on the east coast of Sweden. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it was a nice, beautiful little college town, fairly large town. It was quite beautiful. The architecture was beautiful. We were just at a bar having a beer, and they closed the bar at 9:30. Now, even in Utah, they don't close a bar at 9:30, especially in a college town. It seemed people got along well, but it just did not seem that there was much excitement. It was pretty boring. Beautiful, but boring. I got to Turkey, and suddenly there's all this movement, excitement, work, industriousness. I didn't see much industriousness in Sweden. It seemed everybody was pretty damn comfortable, and didn't really matter whether you worked or not. The towns were quiet during the day and pretty quiet at night, too. Maybe I didn't see enough, but we stayed at a couple Airbnb places, got to know some people. People are friendly, but just quiet. The Danes love their Viking culture, but to me, that's sort of like the Greeks liking the Hellenistic period. Long gone. Your society's changed totally since then. I think if I lived in Denmark, I'd be immigrating to America if I have any sense of ambition. Because apparently ambition's not smiled upon. Everybody needs to be equal in Denmark. They have a very high tax rate. Everybody's taken care of. But not a lot of tall poppies there. I was disappointed when we started out really visiting Sweden first. And then we crossed the bridge that cost 68 euros to cross the bridge, for crying out loud, or $68, I think it was, between Sweden and Denmark. Went into Copenhagen, and immediately we saw a lot of graffiti on the wall. Now, I do tend to judge a city by how much graffiti they have, and there was a lot of graffiti suddenly in Copenhagen that we saw. We didn't see really any graffiti in Sweden. People were beautiful. People were good-looking people. But anyway, we left there, flew back to Turkey. Now, we stayed near the airport on the Asian side because our flights in and out of Sweden, or out of Denmark, in and out of Denmark, we flew into the Copenhagen airport. We're out of the airport, the Solon Gocek, I can't remember the name of the airport, but the airport on the Asian side. And so we stayed in a hotel down on the Sea of Marmara, in the industrial section of the town. And what this is all the boatyards for miles and miles and miles and miles, both commercial boats and yachts. And the first day I was there, I just started walking. And I was in Nirvana. I loved it. Everywhere I'd go, there was boat supplies, industrial boat supplies, big, massive hardware stores with boat supplies in them. Not a tourist trinket trash shop anywhere in sight. And I walked in and out of these shops, and I walked by these boatyards, and I'd walk around these boatyards, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm not the kind of guy that likes to go and see tourist trinket trash. Shop that had all the charts that I could possibly need, which is hard to find. I walked into one shop, and remember last year I talked about how I took a motor over with me from America to Turkey, because I didn't think I'd be able to find the right motor over there. Well, I walked in the shop, and there were 15 of the motors I hauled over there. The exact same, well, not the exact same. My SD card ran out, and I started recording again, and my gain on the microphone was turned too low, so I'm starting over again on this second part of this recording. forget where I dropped off, but just summarize it to say I really enjoyed staying this part of Turkey. Industrious people, very industrious people. We got down to the boat, put it in the water. Refrigeration wasn't working. It turned out to be an electrical problem. The mechanic came up and spent a couple hours fixing it, but it's been working just great since then. So I have good refrigeration on the boat this year. And I may get the person that manufactures this refrigerator on the recording at some point in time. He said he'd be glad to talk to us. It's an expensive refrigeration system. They advertise it as a install it, do-it-yourself refrigeration system. I'm pretty handy, and it was beyond my capabilities. I think refrigeration is a bit of a specialty that can be learned, but I haven't learned it, and I probably don't really have the tools to do a good job with it. But it's working now, and it's been working since then. So we sailed up the coast. When I was in Chios, just I want to contrast a little bit of the Turkish and Greek culture a little bit. I was walking along the waterfront in Chios, the town of Chios, and a big Turkish gullet came in and backed up. And, of course, the big Turkish gullet had a worker on board that jumped in the dinghy and ran a line ashore and climbed up and tied off the stern of the gullet. And right next to him, another smaller yacht, personal yacht, came in. And as he's backing up to all these restaurants, and there's all these Greeks walking by, and not a single person goes out to help him tie up. And I see this, and I think, well, how's he going to do this? Because the quay is about 5 feet above the water, so he's going to have to climb up this quay to tie off his stern. So I ran over and grabbed his lines, because I've been helped many, many times in the past by Turks taking my lines. But not a single Greek would get off his butt and walk down there and take his lines. I've never seen that happen in Greece. Never in all the time that I've sailed. Except in marinas where you're paying them for the service. You don't see the Greeks ever going out of their way to take a line from another yachtsman. Now maybe that's something to do with their culture. I don't know. But in Turkey, there would always be two or three Turks that would be willing to take your lines and hand them back to you. The only people I see taking lines from yachts are other yachters, people that know that it's always appreciated if you take their stern lines when they're backing into the dock. But I do not ever see that in Greece. In all the years of my traveling in Greece, there's not ever been a single Greek that's ever come out to take my lines. I don't understand that. I do not understand that. If you're Greek, tell me why. The weather has been very good. We've been able to time our passages when there's been no wind. My concern coming this far north was going to be coming early enough in the year that I avoided the Maltimis, and I succeeded in doing that. It looks to me like the weather has finally changed. We are in the Maltimi season now, but that just started this week, so 1st of June. So my timing to get up here was good. Unfortunately, it's been very cold, and the water has been very cold. I've jumped in the water a couple times, and you don't stay in the water. That's the downside of coming this early in the year. I may consider coming late in the year again and seeing if that is a little better. But I do want to have the Maltimis when I sail back to Kushadasi this year. Future plans next year. Well, first of all, I'll finish out this year sailing around and then heading back to Kushadasi. I have a couple more crews that are going to be joining me this summer. But I think next year I will do the same route, but I'm going to do a different route up here. I will go Kushadasi, Chesme, Chios, Pasara, then to the south end of the island of Evia and work my way up the coast on the inside passage between the mainland Greece and Evia Island. There's a lot of anchorages up there that I want to explore, and there's more anchorages up here that I'm not going to be able to get to that I want to explore. I like this area, not a lot of charter yachts, a lot of cruisers here, not a lot of cruisers, but the other boats you see tend to be boat owners with their own boats. I've seen a few charter boats, but not a lot. It's been a fairly uneventful year. I did have an overheating on the engine. If you have a Yanmar engine, my engine is a Yanmar 30 horsepower engine, and I discovered this problem a long time ago. Had the boat in the water for 4 or 5 years, and suddenly I wasn't getting circulation through the engine. Of course, the first thing you think about is the water pump's gone. So replace the water pump, still no circulation. Went to a Yanmar dealer and I said, "I'm not getting any circulation." He said, "How old's the boat?" I told him. He said, "How have you ever changed the mixing elbow?" I said, "No." He said, "That's the problem. The mixing elbow will clog up, will rust up, will clog up, and it will block circulation." So I've had to change my mixing elbow probably about 4 times now on the boat. I changed the water pump a couple of years ago, so I know the water pump's fine. And we overheated one time, so I thought, oh, mixing elbow. So I keep a spare mixing elbow on the boat. And I thought, well, you can nurse it through by taking off parts and screwing around with it, trying to clean it out with a wire. I decided, well, I'm here for a couple of days waiting for my next crew. I'd go ahead and take the time and replace the mixing elbow. I have all the parts on board, so it's just a little bit of a dirty job and a cramped job to get back there behind the engine to undo 4 bolts and undo 4 hose clamps that you need to undo, and then wiggle it around and get it through and take it off and scrape off the gasket, then put the new one in. And it's not hard, it's just awkward and inconvenient and dirty. So I did that yesterday, and then I needed to assemble the mixing elbow with there's 3 parts to it. There's the part that mounts on the engine, there's a little coupling, and then there's the mixing elbow. So I needed to assemble these 3 parts together. Went over to this little shop, motorcycle shop, and I just asked the guy if he had a vise that I could clamp this in. He may or may not have had a vise, but he wasn't willing to let me use it. Come on, a vise? Give me a break. I have a vise on the boat. I just didn't want to tear out the lazarette to get to it. So I thought, there's got to be some place in town that I can use a vise, but not even a vise in a little motorcycle shop? Give me a break. I'm sure they had it, but they just didn't want to let me use it. So I put it back together and was able to make it work, and it's working again now. And but it's little things like that that give me a contrast. In Turkey, I would have said, "Oh yeah, well, let's find you a vise." He would have walked with me through the whole town to find a vise. But that's the contrast in cultures I see. Anyway, don't mean to badmouth the Greeks, but they do have some beautiful islands, but they certainly have a different point of view, I guess, than I'm used to. All right, that's going to close up this commentary. I may do another podcast before the end of the summer. Now, of course, these won't be released till I get back, but that's the way it is.